Ecclesiastes chapter 9, let me pray to start off our evening. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for who you are, what you have done for us, your word that you have recorded for our instruction that can equip the man of God, thoroughly equip us for every good work. And Lord, you just intend to do so much in our lives. And as we finish this book and the lessons from Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and his quest to find meaning in life apart from you, and of course, he came back to you. But we know that that is where true meaning and contentment and fulfillment is found, only in you, Lord. So bless us tonight as we study this passage and enjoy what your Holy Spirit has for us. And we do ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so again, King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, who made the mistake of not applying the wisdom that he had. How many times have you done that in your life? You know what you should do. The word is there. Maybe you've known someone. Let's keep it personal. But maybe you've known someone that, man, they can quote the scripture, but don't apply a lick of it to their lives. And we can make that great mistake. Now, remember that in chapter 1, verse 13, Solomon said, I set my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. And that phrase, under heaven or under the sun, which he used so many times in this book, really is about the quest under the sun. Not looking up to heaven, but to everything under it. And, of course, you will be frustrated, vanity, emptiness, lack of contentment, disillusionment, you fill in the blanks. All of those that can very, very likely happen in life when we make that mistake of not coming to the Lord and looking to him for answers. And so as we're going to go on this quest and watch him go on this quest, I just want to remind us that it's interesting to me that I almost believe one of the most interesting verses in the whole book, if you recall, was in chapter 3, verse 11. I want to read it because it helps me in some way maybe understand almost what appears to be schizophrenia in Solomon's thinking as we went through this book. But chapter 3, verse 11, he made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. And so when he said that, what we're really saying is, go ahead, man, you that know God. He had talked to God. He had gotten his wisdom from God. And to know that God put eternity in your hearts, when you know the truth and you keep trying to find fulfillment in life without it, you're going to keep coming back to the same truth, that God is the answer. And so what's interesting is he did keep giving us these glimpses, almost like, I just can't avoid coming back to God, even though I'm trying to find meaning in life. But if you recall, I've mentioned that in chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 7, chapter 8, he kept coming back to and giving us this glimpse that fearing God is the answer. And tonight when we finish the book, he's going to make that very, very clear. That is the answer in life, to fear God, to come to him, to walk with him, to be his child. And that is where fulfillment in life is found. That's where meaning in life. This world, let's face it, with all of the wackiness in it, if we didn't have God to explain to us, why do we have death? Why do we have wars? Why do we have all? The Bible explains all that. And so we realize the wreck that we have made of things, not that God has made of things. Well, as we get to chapter 9, he's going to talk about death a bit. I mean, if you're looking at trying to find meaning under the sun, you better deal with death or you're going to be frustrated again. And this is certainly not the first time. He's already talked about death in chapter 2, chapter 3, 7, 8, and now 9. You can't avoid this subject. Now, as we look at verse 1, notice he said, I considered all that is in my heart. I considered everything in my heart. Well, let's look back, please, at verse 18 of the prior chapter. He's going on a thought about what's in his heart, the thinking, the emotions that's going through his mind and all of this quest. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. So again, he kept going, coming to this place of frustration. I want to figure this out. I can't quite figure it out. Can't do it without the Lord. And so what he's going to do now, again in chapter 9, is, for I consider all that is in my heart, so that I could declare it all. I want to say it all. Now, he's very wise, so he knew how to figure things out. And he knew how to, I believe, explain things very well. But again, apart from the Lord, life just doesn't make sense. You can give all the wisdom, all the worldly wisdom you want. We need wisdom from the Lord. But notice what he says, so I could declare all, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. Well, they really are. God is the judge of every work. As Christians, we never work to get into heaven. We work as a result of saying, thanks for what you've done. I'm glad what you've done for me. I'm glad to serve you. The unsaved do works. It's some good, some evil. I mean, not good in terms of doing anything for them to get into heaven. But no amount of good work is going to get anybody to heaven because we're all sinners. We can't outdo the bad that we have done. But God knows all these things. And this interesting statement he makes at the end of verse 1, people know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them. Not on this earth. You're not going to find true love apart from God. Since love is sourced in God, that's the place we have to look. We're not going to find it on this earth. And of course, we have the problem with love in this world is it's a self-love. Our world is completely motivated by self-love. That's one of the signs of the end times. People will be lovers of themselves. And so when you take people that love and they love themselves as the primary love of their life, it's going to just lead to selfishness. So we really don't know what true love looks like. This unselfish love, this love that's described in 1 Corinthians 13, the love of God. And so people really don't know what love is. It's interesting, he said, people know neither love nor hatred. I think we know hatred. That's fairly natural to us. And he goes on to say, all things come alike to all. And he's going to now start speaking about death, the fact that you do all your works, but one day we're all going to face death. We're all ending there.